This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, July 20th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. New measure offers E15 fix. GOP hardliners target USDA funding and checkoffs, and CRP nears cap. Here's a scoop. New E15 bill offers refinery concessions. A bill expected to be released today would allow year-round nationwide E15 sales in exchange for concessions to small refineries. The measure, sponsored by Nebraska Republican Deb Fischer and the top Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, West Virginia's Shelley Moore Capito, among other senators, is the latest attempt to legislate an E15 fix. Sources tell AgriPulse the bill includes relief for small refineries that have struggled with the cost of complying with the renewable fuel standard. There's the Carper factor. The bill would still face an uphill battle without the backing of EPW Chairman Tom Carper. The Delaware Democrat has been vocal about his desire to protect small refineries and their workers. Fisher confirmed to AgriPulse yesterday the new bill was imminent. We'll have conversations with Senator Carper, but I don't see other changes to the bill, she said. GOP hardliners push deeper cuts in USDA. Hardline conservative Republicans in the House are calling for steep cuts in USDA funding, well beyond those contained in the pending spending bill for fiscal 2024. More than 140 amendments that were filed by yesterday include proposals to eliminate international food aid and cut other programs and agencies back to FY19 spending levels. The House Rules Committee will ultimately decide which amendments get floor votes. But the amendments also include a proposal by Representative Victoria Spartz of Indiana to stop USDA from operating commodity checkoff programs. Representative Mary Miller of Illinois is seeking to block implementation of the USDA Equity Commission's interim report and shut off funding for USDA's climate hubs. Proposals by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia would prohibit funding for climate or green energy initiatives or for development of cultured meat products. Representative Byron Donalds of Florida filed an amendment with a sweeping set of proposals involving the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. From the other side of the aisle, Democrats are offering amendments that would restore some funding cuts in the spending bill. A proposal by Representative Kim Schreier of Washington would protect Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack's flexibility to use the Commodity Credit Corporation account. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Climate change plays a role in debate over interior EPA funding bill. The sweltering and dangerous heat that has gripped much of the country over the past month was cited by several Democratic members of the House Appropriations Committee as they argued against severe cuts to the EPA's budget. Climate change has reached a crisis point, said Representative Shelley Pingree of Maine, also a House Agriculture Committee member. She said she was, quote, so disappointed and frustrated by this bill before us, referring to the FY24 Interior Environment Spending Bill that the GOP-controlled committee approved yesterday. The bill would cut EPA's budget from its current level by nearly $4 billion, or 39%. Now keep in mind, the Senate Appropriations Committee has yet to take any action on its version of the bill. USDA accepts 2.7 million acres into grasslands CRP. USDA is accepting offers to enroll close to 2.7 million acres in the grasslands portion of the Conservation Reserve Program. The number of accepted acres is lower than last year's 3.1 million acres because the program is reaching its overall acreage cap. With a low number of acres expiring in 2024 and 2025, getting any closer to the statutory cap of 27 million acres would hinder the USDA's availability to conduct meaningful future signups or to implement existing and new Conservation Reserve Enhancement Partnership agreements in 2024, said Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau. Now keep in mind, land enrolled in grasslands CRP is allowed to be grazed. Grazing can only be done in emergency conditions under the rules of the general CRP signup. Reclamation targets late summer for next steps on Colorado River proposal. The Bureau of Reclamation is currently evaluating a plan from the three lower Colorado River Basin states to conserve at least 3 million acre feet of water until 2026, with hopes to release an action alternative for public comment later this summer. That the word of Commissioner Camille Touton speaking with AgriPulse. We're working through that now, Touton said of the Lower Basin Plan, but we've got great partners in the Lower Basin states and the Upper Basin states, so I feel good about our ability to move forward. The plan, a compromise between negotiators from Arizona, California, and Nevada, calls for Inflation Reduction Act funding to be used to compensate water users for up to 2.3 million acre feet of reductions, while the remaining 700,000 acre feet would either go uncompensated or be paid for using state or local funds. Wine exports. Falling Japanese tariffs open new U.S. opportunity. The U.S. still lags far behind countries like France when it comes to exporting wine to the growing Japanese market. But Japan's tariffs are falling thanks to the four-year-old U.S.-Japan trade agreement, and there's opportunity for the U.S. to grab more market share. That's according to the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. The U.S. exported $144 million worth of wine to Japan in 2022, but Japanese tariffs on bulk and fortified wines dropped to zero in April, putting the U.S. on equal footing with competitors like France and Chile for those categories. All of Japan's tariffs on U.S. wine will be eliminated by 2025. With tariff advantages recently achieved through USJTA, U.S. wine exporters are well-positioned to regain market share in the Japanese market, FAS said in an analysis. CDC to begin monitoring coronavirus infections. The pathogen responsible for the massive 2022 powdered infant formula recall, coronavirus Sakuzakia, will now be tracked more easily. The Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists voted in favor of putting coronavirus Sakuzakia infections in the nationally notifiable disease list, which already includes other foodborne pathogens such as E. coli, Salmonella, and Listeria. The list consists of about 120 illnesses and is managed by the CSTE and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Finally, here's today's He Said It. Did the gopher get his permits? That Senator Angus King, the independent from Maine, after Senator James Risch of Idaho described how a gopher caused flooding in Boise in the 1970s by damaging a canal. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, July 20th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.